So Cam Kilcoon is a very inspiring person, has faced a number of challenges in life, and I wanted him to come along today to really push our boundaries. We talked about at the start of the day that if you're thinking, you might as well think big. So Cam is certainly an expert at thinking big. So I'd like to welcome Cam to the stage. Welcome, mate. Cool. Awesome, man. Cool. Good stuff.
Thanks a lot. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good.
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 Yeah.
Wonderful. My name's Cam Calhoun, and it's great to be here. And I believe I have the best job in the world, because I made it up myself. But every day I get to speak to different audiences throughout New Zealand and more throughout the real world. And a few years ago I was speaking here in Auckland, and a primary school kid put up his hand and he said, "Mr. Calhoun, what does your name mean?" And I was like, "I don't know. Cool dude."
And he said, No, it's got to mean something. Let's find out." So I walked over to the computer to put my name into Google. Uh-oh, you never know what you're going to get on Google. And he put in my first name, Cameron. Now I know that Cameron comes from Scotland, and I was expecting to see images of a big Scottish hero in his kilt who had once saved the people of Scotland from a ten-eyed monster. How disappointed I was when I found out that Cameron means crooked nose. So we're not getting off to a good start. But like you all, I have a family name, Calhoun. Calhoun comes from Holland, and back in the day, the Calhouns were in charge of a mint. So they made all the money for the people of Holland, and because of that, they were ambassadors throughout this world. And I thought Calhoun would be my saviour. It means turkey. Put the two together on cooking nice turkey. Sounds like something you give on pack and save for $5.99. But you know what? Whatever kind of bird I am, I'm going to wake up each day and I'm going to look outside and I'm going to see hope and possibility, and know that life really is what we make it. So if you could achieve anything in this world, what would it be? How would you feel? And what do you need to do? Now, it's a pretty big question for a Thursday afternoon, but when we answer it, we see opportunity, we clarify purpose, and we achieve some awesome things. Awesome. It's my favourite word. Strong, positive, and so encouraging. In fact, I love it so much, but I'm going to do a magic trick. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not quite like that guy, Dynamo from TV. Like, an elephant's not going to appear in the room. But I can do this. A one, two. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Awesome. Now, I was given awesome a few years ago. And the moment I saw it, it was love at first sight. And I get a mate to get it back to my office and stick it on my desk. Because not only would people think that my name was awesome, but words influence how we feel, and therefore, what we can achieve. By seeing the word awesome on my desk, I like to see people stop, smile, and think. Think about what they have done, what they are doing, or what they could be doing to live an awesome life. I feel fortunate to be living an awesome life. I've represented my country in sport, worked in Japan only for 2 weeks, but I still worked in Japan. Volunteered in Vanuatu, gained scholarships to university, set up my own business, set up a charity, am an ambassador for Toyota New Zealand, which means I get a free car. but it's all about believing. And every day, I encourage people from universal backgrounds to dream big. Because with big dreams comes a big life. And I tell you of my accomplishments, not to boast, but for pride. For pride, because I was born with cerebral palsy. Yeah, I'm not drunk. Just in case you were trying to work it out. But in being born with cerebral palsy, shortly after I was born, doctors and other medical professionals presented this wheelchair as my future. And if things were going well for me, I might upgrade to one of these, a nice, sexy walker. And if things were going really well, I might become a little bit like this guy, Forrest Gump. But no doctor, no medical professional presented this as my future. Mainly due to my skin colour and my sex. But they didn't see power, beauty. They didn't see strength. They didn't see opportunity. They didn't see hope and possibility. Now, like this lady here, like every single one of us in this room today, my parents and I have always had a choice. Focus on what I can't do and what society expects of me, or dream the dream. Dream a life of travel, entertainment, and connection. You know, I believe that every single one of us is presented with a challenge in life. Some challenges are more obvious than others, but we need to embrace our challenges to create a base. And then leverage our opportunities and our uniqueness to exceed expectations. Imagine that. Exceeding expectation. Becoming more than you or anyone around you could ever imagine. How awesome would that be? I remember at primary school, sticking my name down for the egg and spoon race. Not really taking into account how messy this could get. Egg, spoon, cerebral palsy. As it neared my turn to be egg on spoon, I heard my father call out to me, "Cam, over here." So I walk over to Dad. Dad says, "My boy, you can be whatever you want to be in this world. And if you want to win today, just believe you can." And with that, he spat out a piece of chewing gum, stuck it on the spoon, put the egg on top, and said, "Good luck." Now, not only did I finish the race with the egg intact, I was the only student to defy gravity, crossing the finish line with the egg under my spoon. So from there, I had a passion for sport, and after doing the egg and spoon race, it was natural to go on and do the three-legged race. And I was paired up with my best mate called Meatball. He was called Meatball for the same reason I was called Spaghetti. We were the perfect couple. And at the start of the race, we're looking into each other's eyes, and we're like, "Man, how are we going to win that race?" And Mum must have seen that look of terror in her face. And she walks over and she says, "Boys, slow and steady wins the race." She said, "Other kids are going to try and be the fastest. They were the ones who fell over. Other kids are going to try and be the coolest. Come on, it's a three-legged race. No matter how hard you try, you ain't gonna look cool." And there's times in life when we don't feel that cool. When we've got to be away from our friends and family, we're working on a Sunday, where the phone's just not ringing, and we're wondering, what do we do? But nothing compares to that feeling of realizing a dream. Unfortunate thing is, though, is that too many people in this world don't become all that they can be, because they are blinded by short-term issues that they can't control, rather than focusing on long-term results that they have complete control over. For me, to see cerebral palsy as anything more than a short-term issue would have significantly disabled my quality of life. I just wish I'd always been that positive. Because in the words of Dr. Seuss, hang-ups and bang-ups do happen to us all. And as I was becoming a teenager, they happened to me in the biggest way. You see, I'm becoming more aware that I have this thing called a disability. And when I look out into my community for people who walk and talk like me, I don't see anyone. And when I look up the word disability in the dictionary, I see words like weak, can't, unable, mentally retarded, and broken. And I think to myself, if this is how my dictionary sees me, how does society see me? And I remember my first day of high school, I'm at school bus, and I've got a school bag the size of a house on my back. And as I walk off at school bus, I see hundreds, thousands of students, all so big it's hard to know who's a student, who's a teacher. And I don't know anyone in this environment, and as I walk through that school gate, I'm envious of everyone all in the social circles, and I just wish I knew someone, but someone would give me a wave or say hello. And then all of a sudden, someone did give me a wave, and I get hope and possibility. And then I realised by waving at the person behind me. Finally, I get into that school auditorium, and for the first time in my life, I notice two groups of students. Those with special needs at the front of the hall and everyone else. Now, I wasn't a part of a special needs group. I didn't feel I had to be, but because I walked funny and taught funny, the other kids didn't know where I belonged. I wasn't showing my true colours, and after a while, I didn't feel like I belonged anywhere. And as days turned into weeks, weeks turned into months, I was no longer sleeping with my dreams, but kept awake wondering if I'd ever be competitive in sport, successful in business. Would I ever have a beautiful wife, an amazing home, and a car that goes fast, fast, fast? Although I knew what I wanted, I believed I was disabled. I believed I was crippled. I believed I was broken, and that where I was is where I had to stay. Now, is this belief limited to people with cerebral palsy? Heck no. I see and I hear of people all over the world not becoming all that they can be. Their excuses like, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too old, I'm too young, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough resources, it's my boss's fault, it's my government's fault, it's everyone else's fault. And maybe you've used and heard other excuses yourself, because we are kings and queens of holding ourselves back. And at the low of my low, I was dropping out of sport. I was dropping out of school. And in a big, big way, I was dropping out of life. And now at this point, my mom and my dad, they have no idea what to do. Your little Mr. Sunshine is no longer quite so happy. And in a moment of desperation, my mum, she's digging into that barrel of hope one last time. And as she dug into that barrel, she hit something. She hit something with her mind. And she decided to write a letter to the one person who made me smile. A guy called Jeremy Wells, newsboy from the Havoc TV show, and today the Meridian Energy guy with the big feet. This guy. I loved him. His style, his sense of communication, the TV show he did, the cars he had, the sports he did, everything he did, I wanted to do. I would record his show every night that I could, and it would be the first thing I'd watch after returning from school. And one day I returned home from a pretty shit day at school, and next to the biscuits and the milk was an envelope from TV New Zealand. And inside that envelope, a two-page letter from my hero-to-be, Newsboy. And he became my hero that day. Because as I read the blue ink of his pen, he's telling me about his experiences at school. How he had always tried to be like everyone else, but as he was getting older, he realized that difference was a good thing. Because the people who count in this world look for those who are different. And now the one thing that frustrated him most about young people was seeing them all trying to be the same. Turning point in my life. From this point on, I started to realize the importance of communication. Jeremy didn't know who I was, yet he took the time out of his day to write a few words that changed my life. And now whenever I'm out and about, I make sure the words that I say, that we say, are as positive as they can be, because you just don't know what influence they are going to have on another. I remember a few years ago, I was driving up north from my home here in Auckland. It was a beautiful hot day, and I was getting really hot in my car. The sun was baking in on my face, and I see a sign, ice cream, 2 kilometres. So I drive to the ice cream shop, and I get to the ice cream shop, and I get to the front of the line, and I see the ice cream lady. Not a lady made out of ice cream. That would have been cool. But the lady scooping my ice cream. And as she scoops my ice cream, I notice she had a tattoo all over her arm. Now, I don't know much about tattoos, but I had a feeling she did. So I asked her about it. Oh, that was scary, because I know that sometimes this can go wrong. I've had that before, but you know what? I figured out that finding out was totally worth what it would take. And she turned around, and she didn't hit me in the face. She didn't say a bad word. She gave me a smile. And she said, that's why that bit's blue, that's why there's a dog, that's why there's a rose, that's why that bit's red. And you know what? I left that shop feeling so much more empowered. Empowered because I'd given a lady to tell a story that means so much to her. And inspired. Because I now saw this lady in a completely different way. She had a story. We all have stories. And when we are looking to build meaningful relationships, we want to share our stories and we want to hear the stories of others. And this experience, the letter from Newsboy, reminded me that in this big world, I could either sit and watch my dreams pass me by, or I could chase them. I could be gooder than good, greater than great. I could live for awesome. And we all can. We all need to ignore the voice that says, I can't, and ignite the one that says, I can. By stepping outside our comfort zones and striving towards your personal best each and every day. My personal best would come when I'd changed from a school that was all about ticking a box and thinking that was enough, to one that was about creating experiences and inspired me to put my name down for the 100 metres of a school athletics day, a race that was in no way logical for me to win. And I didn't. I lost by a long way. But as I ran down that track, something magical did happen. I tuned into what I was feeling in my heart, which was the fastest I'd ever moved. My disability was irrelevant. And as I ran down that track, I heard other kids chanting my name, "Go Cam, go Cam." And as I crossed that finish line, someone told me about the Paralympics, that I could be competitive in this world. And that start gun of a school athletics day became symbolic to starting a new chapter in my life. The goal to become the best possible athlete that I could be, a representative of my country, our country, a Paralympian. And it's funny, when we have a goal in life, we have less choice about what we're going to do with our time, but we're happier. No goal. Lots of time. Lots of time to focus on our disabilities, whatever they may be. And I went out and I found the best coach in New Zealand and I said, "Coach, don't worry about the disability." I said, "Make me sweat like I've never sweated before. Give me pain like I've never felt before. Make me spew if you have to. Make me a champion." And 6 months later of leaving no stone unturned, I was selected to represent New Zealand at the Australian Junior Paralympics. And I remember meeting here at Auckland International Airport, and this was my first time travelling with a group of disabled athletes. And I was in awe of the hurdles these people had overcome to be there. There was a blind swimmer, a runner with half a leg, and a pole vaulter with no arms. Okay, I made that up. It doesn't exist. But I love it. I love it how you guys fought about it, right? You're like, how could that be possible? But these guys reminded me about something. They reminded me about passion and perception. You see, whatever anyone else saw us to be, we were athletes. We were there to represent our country to the best of our ability, and I did, winning gold in both the 100 and 200 metres. From winning junior championships, my ambition grew to winning national, international and world championships, of which I achieved all of them. By winning championships in New Zealand, Australia and Canada for both the 100 and 200 metres and making it into the top 10 of athletes with cerebral palsy in the world. And what I'm most proud of is this image here. Me as a 21-year-old is a representation of what can be achieved when we see opportunity, clarify purpose, and indeed live for awesome. Now, when I started running the 100 metres, I was running the 100 metres in 18.5 seconds, which was a lot faster than what I could have ever done in a wheelchair. But then I found out my grandmother was faster than me. I needed to pick up my game. So I went out and I spoke to the coaches and the physios and the doctors, and I said, "Look, how fast do you reckon I can run the 100 metres at?" And they said, "You know, you might be able to get down to about 15 seconds. The only thing is, I was training with people who were aiming to run it in 10 seconds or faster. So why wouldn't I aim for 10 seconds? And as a result, I got my time down to 12.24. Dream big, achieve more. Impossible is nothing. So what does it look like when you live for awesome? And why do it? Why be in the pursuit of excellence? Why put your mind, body and soul through the journey to become the best that you can be? Why do it? Well, it is through the pursuit of excellence where we learn and develop skills that can be universally applied throughout our lives. These skills are skills that we've known since we were a kid, but that we need to remind ourselves of from time to time. Things like hard work. Hard work's not doing what the person next to you is doing. Hard work's what you do to go above and beyond. A great New Zealand leader, Sir Peter Blake, once said, if something isn't difficult, it probably isn't worth doing. I learn about passion. Doing what we love in this world. Outside of this room is an abundance of opportunity. And when we do what we love, we see that opportunity. When we embrace opportunity, we grow. Learn about ownership. Why are we here? Why do we do what we do? See, why we do what we do is so important. The only reason that I'm not in the wheelchair that I showed you at the beginning of this presentation is that for the first 7 years of my life, Mum and Dad sent me to the hospital every single day for speech therapy, physiotherapy, anything ending in therapy, I've done it. And then I stopped because none of my buddies were going to physio. And the doctors would say things like, oh, but Cam, this will help you when you're an adult. The only thing is, right now, I was a kid. And that didn't mean going to the hospital every single day. So I stopped. And then I got into my sport. And I realized the stronger I was, the more flexible I was, the faster I would be. And now I had a reason for doing this stuff that my physios were trying to get me to do. So when we are looking to inspire our teams and motivate ourselves, dream a dream of what really is possible. But what are some smaller, more tangible outcomes that we can achieve in the foreseeable future? And that thing, dream the dream. Because in our dreams, when we sleep at night, anything is possible. One moment we're flying over the Niagara Falls, the next moment we're chasing lions with the pyramids of Egypt, or running the New York Marathon. At no point in our sleeping dreams do we ask ourselves the question that constantly stops us in our waking dreams, how good am I at this? And in order to find out how good we are, we may need to do things that scare us a little bit. At the beginning of my athletic career, I was terrified of public speaking. They say more people are scared of speaking than they are of dying. And I was that guy. I was double that guy. But you've got to embrace opportunity. And I was overseas competing in Sweden, and my manager rang me up, and he said, Cam, actually, he never ever called me Cam. It was always Cammy, Cammy Whammy, Crooked Nose Turkey. I said, Dino, what's up? He said, when you get back to New Zealand, would you do me a favour? Would you come and speak to a school? And I said, oh, Dean, you know me. I'm terrified of speaking. To which he responded with the words of my favourite song, do one thing every day that scares you. And if that wasn't enough inspiration, he told me it was a girls' school. I was in. But between agreeing to give the speech and giving the speech, I had got an awful cold. And I'm doing everything I can to get better and went on to give the speech, which was going pretty well, until about halfway through, when I felt an almighty sneeze coming on. I'm doing all I can to keep speaking and not sneeze, which is quite difficult, and in my case, impossible, because all of a sudden my nose exploded. Snot everywhere. My handkerchief, not in my pocket, but underneath a note at home that said, Cam, do not forget your hanky. I was in a moment of dilemma, and as I'm standing on stage like something from Ghostbusters, the girls were not sure whether to laugh or to cry. And at that point, I hear my manager walking up on stage behind me, not with a hanky, not with a tissue, but his very own shirt for me to blow my nose on. So I did. You know, they said that support is our foundation to our success. And I would say that allowing another person to blow their nose on your shirt is the ultimate in support. This support has taken me from the emotional, I can't do that, to the physical, of course I can. And here I am today, furthering your motivation that life can be all you want it to be when you seek inspiration and embrace support. Now, if you want inspiration in life, look around you. Check it out on YouTube, read a book, stick a poster up on your wall, say positive things to yourself. But if you want motivation, real, true, pure motivation, stop, look in the mirror, and don't move until all you're thinking about is the life you ultimately want to be living. When I did this, I thought it was pretty cool to have been able to turn my two biggest perceived weaknesses, the way I walk and the way I talk, into my two biggest strengths and my passport to traveling this world. But I wondered something. I wondered why when I walk down the street sometimes, I would hear people say things like, "Hey, weirdo! Weirdo!" Now, it could be to do with my bright purple pants, but I have a feeling it's something else. And then I'd walk into schools in New Zealand and throughout the world, and I'd see young people being left out by their peers and by their teachers, who categorise them as special, disabled, broken, retarded, because of the way they walk and the way they talk, rather than being seen for where they could walk and to whom they could talk to. And I realised that my greatest contribution to this world wouldn't come through what I could do with my walk as a runner, but through what I could do with my talk as a speaker. And my vision became a world where everyone is inspired to embrace their opportunities, and our physical being is no barrier in succeeding with our dreams and aspirations. It is dreams that have taken the world to what we see today, and it is aspiration that will take it into the future. Now, it's great to have a dream, but often we need to be in an environment that is going to support that dream. Well, luckily, the world has a way of making way for those who know where they're going. And shortly after making a decision to live for a purpose beyond myself, I was invited to speak to a Rotary Club. Now, at 21 years of age, I had no idea what a Rotary Club was. I thought it was a car club. I got quite a shock. But I got there and I told my story, and at the end of my talk, a few men came up to me and they said, "Cam, we love your energy, and we're looking to build a disability resource centre on Auckland's North Shore, but we've hit a bit of a brick wall when it comes to raising the $4 million we need to build this facility. Would you become our ambassador?" Now, I didn't know what an ambassador was, but it sounded cool, so I said yes. And I quickly discovered that I was to be the face to that campaign, which meant speaking to every funder, every Rotary Club, every community organisation until we got that money. And I saw that as a pretty big responsibility. So I'd stay up to 1, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning working out how best I was going to tell my story. Because you tell a story, you touch a heart, you touch a heart, you open a wallet. I knew this worked after I got a standing ovation from the ASB Trust after asking them for $1 million. They said, "Thank you, please come again." And this is what we built. the Yes Disability Resource Centre on Auckland's North Shore, a three-storey facility that provides housing to the groups working with the 1 in 5 people living with some form of disability. And we called it Yes, because in a moment of need, people are looking for an answer. And if we can't provide that answer, well, then we're going to do what New Zealanders are famous for, and that's innovate. We're well known for what we can do with our imagination. It is our imagination that sees us standing on the highest pinnacles, sailing the seas and flying the skies to make a world of difference. And when I looked at Yes, I realised that it wasn't just big wallets that made it possible. It was big hearts and big minds. Many people who became my giants in life, my mentors, people that I could go to for support, confidence and guidance in whatever area I aspired towards. And I realised I was pretty lucky to have all these mentors in my life. But as I was getting more experiences, I was meeting more and more young people with disabilities or extraordinary challenges, with dreams as big, if not bigger than my own. And I thought, how cool would it be if there was a mentoring program in New Zealand and in the world for us young people with extraordinary challenges, not what do you need to live a normal life, because what is normal, but who do you want to be and how can we get you there? And I realised that in order for this program to succeed, it had to be called something sexy, because calling it mentoring for the disabled, that wouldn't get my attention. And with that, I looked into my pocket and I found this, a carabiner clip. A carabiner is one of the strongest links in the world. It connects a climber to their rope, giving them the support, confidence and guidance they need to reach the pinnacle of their mountain. Having reached their pinnacle once, they look around to see what else they can achieve. And I thought, what a pretty cool name for a mentoring program. And with that, Carabiner Mentoring was born, linking potential with success. And we've seen young people with extraordinary challenges go on to the Paralympics, having a voice on radio waves, dancing with the stars, restoring historic huts down in Antarctica. And 2 years ago, a young man walks into my office and he says, "Cam, let me tell you my story." And I love those words. Tell me, tell you my story. Because when we hear someone's story, we bend perception and we eliminate assumption. And he said, "Cam, just after I was born, I was diagnosed with cancer behind the eye. And my parents were told that I could either lose my eye or lose my life. Fortunately for him, they decided to lose their eye. But in doing so, they were told that I'd never have a normal education, unable to play sport. Socially, life would be pretty hard." This kid went on to be a prefect at King's College here in Auckland, a member of their first 15 rugby team, and today an aspiring doctor in the area of cancer research. So what we did is we connected him up with his doctor, his mentor. His mentor was only 32 years of age, and the mentor said to him, "Do you know why I want to be your mentor?" He said, "Firstly, I believe in you." In those words, "I believe it's so important to give and to receive. Secondly, like you," the mentor said, "cancer has affected my life. But unlike you, I cannot beat it. And there's a good chance that I'm not going to be here this time next year," the mentor said. "But before I die, I want to make sure we both get to live our dreams." Pretty powerful stuff. And what it made me realize is that we don't get to choose how we end of this world. We don't get to choose what happens to us. But we do get to choose how we're going to live our life. And are we going to let hurdles smack us in the head? Or are we going to jump over them and achieve that personal best? Some people say, oh, but Cam, what if the goal is too hard? Too hard? It's too hard to think we could jump inside a big metal can, put wings on it, and fly to the other side of the world. Fortunately, the Wright brothers didn't think so. Now we have aeroplanes connecting millions of people every single day. It's too hard to think these lights could appear by a flick of a switch. And now look where we are with technology. So what is too hard for one is an opportunity for another, and we want to be the mentor. We want to find our mentors. We want to support one another to get to the top of a mountain, because a dream creates a vision. A vision creates a goal. A goal leads to an opportunity, and what we do with our opportunities is up to us. I never made it to the Paralympics. I achieved every other competition, just not the Paralympics. However, the pursuit towards that made me stronger, fitter, and a whole lot more ambitious. Which got me a scholarship to university, which got me my first job, which got me here speaking with you all, traveling, entertaining, connecting people with inspiration, people with dreams, people with people. And what is the most important thing in this world? It is people. It is people. It is people. And I started speaking 13 years ago. And for eight years, I did what was comfortable. And then I decided to take on the world. Because the way I see it, is we can take our product, our services, our inspiration to our teams, to our areas, to our regions, to our countries, to a world of 7 billion people, or anything in between. And I decided to go to New York, because in the words of Frank Sinatra, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. The only thing is, I didn't know anyone in New York, and I can promise you, no one knew Cam Calhoun. But never underestimate the power of your network. And I wrote an email to everyone I knew, telling them about my dream. I even emailed those who didn't know me, Jay-Z, Beyonce, Donald Trump. I never heard back from any of them. But one day, I reckon I will. Because out of the 250 other emails I wrote, some of them worked. And in a 6-week window, I spoke to 5 of the biggest organizations in New York City. I had 25 meetings with movers and shakers of New York speaking and entertainment industry, one of which was called the Washington Speakers Bureau. Now, to put things into perspective, the Washington Speakers Bureau is one of the biggest speaking bureaus in the United States of America. They're putting speakers in front of conferences that have 60, 70, 80, 90, 100,000 people, and I had the phone number of one of the top ladies. Opportunity? Absolutely. Heck, scary? Heck yes. Prospecting of any kind is always going to fire up a little voice. And I know you've heard that voice yourself. What's that little voice been saying to you? What's standing between you and your dreams? Well, if you could achieve anything, what would it be? How would you feel? What do you need to do? So I picked up that phone, and holy moly, she picked up the phone too. You know, sometimes we trick ourselves. We ring people and we're like, we know this is good, but man, I hope it goes to an answer phone. Because when we don't actually need to talk to the person, we don't need to face that fear, the fear of someone saying no. But she picked up the phone and I said, hello, my name's Cam Calhoun. I'm an inspirational speaker from New Zealand. She said, whoa, 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 whoa. slow down. You speak fast. He said, hello. My name's Cam Calcoon. I'm a speaker from New Zealand. At this point, she hears my voice. She thinks I'm taking the piss. Probably would have been better to send her an email first, eh? Work out what communication works for you. But eventually things settle down and we do. We have a conversation and she's asking me about what I do and I tell her where I've been speaking and what my dreams are and why I'm over there in the United States of America, and I can hear the excitement in her voice. And the only thing I'm thinking to myself is, man, why didn't I make this phone call ages ago? What was I putting it off for? And then we get to the end of a conversation. And she says to me, look, kid, she called me kid, it's probably not going to work for you here in America. And so at that point, I thank her for her time. Always stay polite. I hang up the phone. I walk out of my apartment into Central Park. And I see hundreds, thousands of people all living their dreams. And I think to myself, do I stop or do I keep going? Do I believe that passion can trump logic? Her logic was saying you can't do it. My passion was saying, man, I haven't even started. What have you done in that situation? That's someone who has heard the best of the best telling you but you can't make it. Well, what have you done? What have you stopped? What have you kept going? What have you kept going even though you know there's got to be more challenges, more disappointment, bigger mountains to climb? Would you truly believe? And the thing about believing is that it's not passive, it's active. We've got to be training, making sure that every year we're getting a little bit better. Walt Disney said, if you can aim to get 1% better every single day, you would have recreated yourself every 100 days. We've got to be committed. Decide what we want to be extraordinary in and don't let anything get in our way. And we've got to keep going back. Because once you turn the tap on an opportunity, you've got to keep catching the opportunities rather than let them absorb into the ground. I went back to New York in 2013. I did all the same stuff. I ended up speaking at Viacom International, the parent company to MTV, Nickelodeon, and Paramount Pictures. And as I'm speaking to an audience of 250 people, I look out and I see the Empire State Building. And that night I got back to my hotel and I'm thinking about the Empire State Building and the parallels between that and our goals. And I realized that the parallel is that the Empire State Building was only built in 13 months. 13 months only to build a building which will remain iconic for the rest of time. And the reason in which it will remain iconic is it was built from a unique set of plans. Now, much like the Empire State Building is built from a unique set of plans, we are built from a unique set of plans. And when we celebrate what makes us different, when we build a strong foundation, we can be iconic. We can be iconic in our businesses, families, and communities. We can be all that we want to be. And I have a 5-year goal of speaking in America and throughout the world as frequently as I'm speaking here in New Zealand and Australia, 4 or 5 times a week, because I believe that if I can do it here, I can do it there. All that it takes is a shift in mindset, just as it does with you and your goals, a shift of mindset. And people say, Cam, how do you keep so busy? How do you speak as frequently as you do? Well, I have a great team behind me, and it's all about teamwork, because we can achieve anything in this world. We just can't do everything. but I've got to motivate, I've got to inspire that team, and in order to do that, I just love to hustle. And I have a goal. And that goal is that every single week, I need to be picking up the phone 20 times and speaking, because nothing sells like mouth-to-ear communication. I need to be sending 40 emails to people that I've never emailed before, introducing myself and what I do. When someone asks me for a business card, I don't just give them one or her, but I give them two, because if they like me, they're going to keep one and pass it on to someone else. And my favorite way of getting free marketing is that every time I'm in an airplane, I open up the in-flight magazine, stick in my business card, and put it back in the seat in front of me. Because you don't know who's going to be on that plane after you. And thanks to Air New Zealand, I've had 4 talks. People want to hear from us. They may not know it yet, but persistence wins. Persistence builds brands. Persistent brands stand the test of time. In April of this year, I was invited down to Queenstown to speak at an event called TEDx. The next day, I jumped on a plane, I flew to San Francisco to further my American dream. This isn't because I've been invited to be there. This is me putting on my own events. For 5 weeks is 100% of my own investment. I'm not making any money. I'm putting on all the food, the catering, everything that people see, I've done. And then 10, maybe 12 people will turn up at each event. And I ask myself, why am I doing it? Why have I stepped away from where everything's so good in New Zealand and Australia to be in America? And I realize that in sometimes dreaming the dream means detaching ourselves from the ego we've created in order to become all that we can be. 2 weeks into my trip to America, my TEDx talk was released onto YouTube. I tweeted that TEDx talk to the Washington Speakers Bureau. I jumped on a plane. I flew from San Francisco to New York. I get into my apartment. It's 11:40 in the evening, and I'm checking my emails. And in my emails, I see an email from the Washington Speakers Bureau saying, "Kid, smiley face, we've got an opportunity for you here in the United States of America." And that evening, I fell asleep covered in goosebumps all up and down my spine, and reminding myself of the words from the beginning, the words of my mum: slow and steady wins the race. And today is a celebration. It's a celebration of everything that has brought us into this room today. But are there any dreams we're holding in here? And what would it feel like, what would it look like if we were displaying them out here? Because I don't believe that anything we've achieved before today is any more achievable than what we could do after today. There may be more processes. There may be greater investment, and time frames may push out. But if we can accept that, then we're absolutely ready to live for awesome. And in front of you on your tables is that card: dream big, achieve more. 4 great words and my gift to you. On the back of it, you can look me up on YouTube, Twitter, send me a photo on Instagram. But what I really want you to do is I want you to look at that card and think to yourself, what would life look like if you didn't dream big? If you accepted that where you were is where you had to be, or got comfortable if comfortable, because it's easy to do what worked yesterday, but if we keep doing what worked yesterday, there's a point where tomorrow's not that exciting. Yet if we strive towards a forecasted future for ourselves, that's when we'll become our inspiration. That's when we'll not only hit our targets, but smack them out for Park. Be motivated. Be so proud about what you do that you want to tell the world. Be strong. Package up your strengths. Take them to your community. Take them to the world. Celebrate what makes you different. Difference is a good thing. The people who count in this world look for those who are different. And be random with your kindness. Because our success isn't determined by what we achieve individually, but how we learn from our experiences to move, connect, and inspire the lives of others. And if anyone ever doesn't know what they want to be, ask the question, what do they want to do? Because if as a kid I had said, I want to be a speaker and an athlete, I would have been up against all sorts of barriers, mainly inside my head. The moment I say I want to live a life of travel, entertainment and connection, I open myself up to the possibilities that surround each and every single one of us, each and every day. And here I am today, traveling, entertaining and connecting. And I just want to finish on a story. And it's a story about fleas. Now a flea has the ability to jump 20,000 times his own body height. That's something no bigger than the tip of our fingernails jumping off his floor and smacking into the ceiling. Pretty awesome, huh? Do you know what you can do is you can get a flea, stick it in a jar, screw on the lid, and it will jump with the same force required to jump 20,000 times his own body height, and bang, into the lid of a jar. After about a week or so of doing this, you can imagine the flea's got a pretty sore head. So you release the flea from a jar where it has all the freedom in the world to jump as high as it can. But for the rest of its life, it will only ever jump the height it could jump in the jar because it associates pain with jumping high. Now in life, we're going to get people who try and put us in a jar. We're going to get situations and circumstances that will slam that lid right on top of us. And if we let that lid stay there, it will disable how high we can jump. However, there's also going to be people who release us from that jar. There's going to be situations and circumstances that will remove that lid. These people will inspire us. They will motivate us. They will guide us to jump higher than we ever thought possible. So the only question is, who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to be? Because life is all about living for awesome. And living for awesome doesn't mean you need to be a CEO of a company, climbing mountains, sailing oceans, or standing on a platform as a speaker. Living for awesome is waking up each and every day proud of who you are. It's about seeing the opportunities. It's about clarifying the purposes and knowing that when we dream big, we really do achieve more. And that is awesome. Thank you. Thank you.